I want to welcome all of you today to Barber's Grove Baptist Church. Every member, every visitor, may each one of you feel the presence of the Lord. Those that might be in the parking lot, those listening later on the website, each one, we're so glad that you're in the Lord's house today. God's given us a beautiful day to come and worship. And he's worthy of our worship. He's worthy of our praise. And we praise him and we love him and we thank him as we come into his presence. May we pray. Father, we thank you for your day. We thank you for your blessings. Most of all, we thank you for your love that you gave to us through the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, as we come into your presence, we thank you for being here. We want you to know that we welcome your presence. We enjoy your presence. We worship you. We honor you as our King of Kings and our Lord of Lords. And Lord, you know the hearts of every person that's in this building, every person in the parking lot, every person that might be listening later. And Lord, I thank you that the Holy Spirit is such a great and a mighty part of the Trinity that he can minister to every one of us according to our greatest need. It may be an emotional need, a comforting need, a financial need, a spiritual need, whatever. I thank you, Father, for your presence. I thank you for your ministry in our life. I thank you for the hope that we have in Jesus, our Lord and our Savior. It's in his name that we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Ed, and good morning. We welcome all of you this morning. Good to see you. If you're a visitor with us this morning, you are indeed our special, special guest. As we do each and every first of the month, we recognize our birthdays and our anniversaries. So, Miss Brenda, if you'll find me a key over there somewhere, and Kathy, we're going to do, let me list the birthdays to you. First, we have Randland Frick, December the 6th. I got your name. I hope I got it right. Every time I want to call you Ryland, but that's not, it's Renlin?
Rylan.
Okay, that's not hard. Okay, I'm making something hard out of it. Andrea Louder, and December the 7th. Jay Julius, December the 17th. Ann Barbie, December the 20th. Janice Hopkins, December the 22nd. Grant Hartzell, December the 23rd. And then Anna Frick, December the 26th. And then Angela Frick, December the 26th. And that's something y'all got the same birthday. Did you? Yeah, I never take. Isn't that amazing? Robert High, December the 29th, and Ted Barbie, December the 30th. Have I missed anyone? Okay. Okay, Lauren, who is it? Okay.
December what, Lauren?
Okay, who else? Emily, you got you too? My goodness, December. Children, that's wonderful. And then Lee, December?
30th.
My goodness. Well, happy birthday, you all. I didn't. What a nice add to the list. Anyone else? Okie dokie. Find me a key, though, if you would, please. We'll sing happy birthday.
Happy birthday. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God bless you. Happy birthday to you.
And then our anniversaries for December is Robert and Kathy High. How many years is that, Miss Kathy?
We made it 18. We were thinking that the other night. Well, we hadn't quite made it there. He's got a couple weeks to survive. But we had 18 years.
Amen. Okay. I'm not going to say a word to that. Sometimes it's best not to say anymore. It's just best not to. Jason and Karen Linker, December the 19th. Did I miss anybody? All right. Congratulations, you all. God bless you. Well, we're entering the Christmas season. I think you all can tell. We've got the beautiful tree put up here, and I think Angie does a marvelous job, and the young the boys to help and all the people that put in it. But it's Christmas time, and we're going to start this month right now with our Christmas music, and we'll start that. But while I'm talking about that, as you know, we have it in the bulletin where we're going to be coming together on the 18th and for our special music here at the church and our Christmas music. And I want you all to be thinking about, I'm recruiting some of you, but I think you might be some of you that would like to volunteer a special Christmas story, something that's in your mind and it's always special to you from the time or whatever, how old, it makes no difference. But come and share that with us, and then a Christmas song that's your favorite as well. So if you'll do that and just see me, we'll put you on the schedule that night, okay? Anybody that would like to do that, okay? All righty. Let's now sing a Christmas song for our hymn sing this morning. Let's turn to page 89. Page 89, O Come, All Ye Faithful, as we stand together and sing our Christmas music. Said amen. Welcome somebody this morning, please. Okay, I have some announcements I want to share with you at this point in time. First, thank you so much. Now we are indeed. This month, we will be, right, Tony? So we're going to be having a chicken and oyster stew here at the church next Saturday night at 6 o'clock. Starts at 6. And those of you who want to help cook, you come here at 4. We'll certainly be willing to be glad to accept your help. We'll have chicken stew and also soups. There'll be some soups. I told the pastor there'll be a potato soup here for those who are vegetarians. So we'll try our best to do that for you as well. So come, and also if you've got a favorite dessert you'd like to bring, they're all my favorite, so not to worry. They'll all work out fine. So come and do that to us as well. We mentioned already the Christmas program. The Christmas program will be December the 18th, and we'll have a special evening of singing carols. And what I wanted to do is sing the ones that you like. And I want you to come, and also, as I said a while ago, bring your favorite Christmas story. We want to share that with us, and we'll have a time of singing for that. We're also going to have a time for the children to sing. I'll come, and the children will have a program as well. The pastor will be doing the Christmas story, and I'm going to get him to do a few stories as well from his childhood, and he'll go back and remember, I believe. So we'll do that from his childhood as well. So it's coming. It'll be a great night, and then afterwards, we'll go downstairs and have finger foods and have a good time of fellowship together. So be sure you do that. Now, one thing I've already talked about, the Lottie Moon. So the Boston butt sale, and Jeff, we need to talk about that. We want to make sure that you all understand there will not be any slaw for sale. We're going to sell Boston butts, but no slaw. And so be sure everybody gets that. I know you love Ted's slaw. I call it Ted's slaw. It's his recipe. It's hard to beat, Ted. I have a lot of people ask for that slaw. Sure enough, do it. So Ted will make his mind up one of these days. We'll get in there and make a barrel of it. Right, Ted?
Have some rain to grow cabbage.
That's right. We'll do that. Well, God's going to supply it. I believe he will. So we'll do that too. So keep that in mind as well. All right. Are there any announcements that I may have overlooked? Yes, Jeff.
I need to see the Baptist men after the service. I've got your Boston butt sale.
Yes, ma'am, Kathy, go.
Also, if you'll notice in the thing about the 18th, Leonard wants us to bring poinsettias instead of luminaries.
Yeah.
And I didn't realize this until Friday, but the West Stanley FFA has poinsettias about this high on sale for $10 a piece, and she has plenty, and they are white. They're glitter, which is white and red, and they have red. If you would like for me to get them for you, I'm going to bring mine this afternoon, but I can pick them up for you. If you'll see me and give me $10 a piece, I'll pick them up and bring them here to the church for you. And if you'll tell me who you want to label to, I'll even be willing to label them for you, you know, in memory of and honor of. So if you'll see me, message me, text me, I'll handle any that you need, and I'll bring them here and set them up for church for you.
Thank you, Kathy. I appreciate you doing that because I almost, well, as a matter of fact, I did. I skipped over that. But it's very important that you remember that we'll not be doing the luminaries this year, but we will be doing the poinsettias. And that's a great way, I think, to honor people and then give it to them and let them take it home. So do that. Bring that. And we'll have it here by all means by the night of the 18th when we have our Christmas program. Bring it earlier if you like because it'll help make the church look more beautiful than it already does. So bring that in mind as well. Okay, thank you, Kathy. I appreciate that. Anybody else? All right. Those are the announcements. Oh, by the way, this is the sales sheet that Jeff was talking about. There's room for, my goodness, what, 20, 25?
Yeah, I'm expecting everyone to sell at least that.
At least that, okay. All righty. Go get them, guys and ladies. We can do it. All right. Let's go now to our prayer request. We want to spend time each and every Sunday on prayer requests. And I have some that I will be sharing. I have, of course, we want to remember the Jeanette Barbie family, continue to remember her. And remember Pam, continue to remember Pam. And then Gary got good news. We praise the Lord for that, Gary. And with some discussion about, they were looking for your heart and wondered if you had one. And I don't know, Gary. Okay, I got it.
You don't have a heart, that's a thumping
gift. Okay. If you wonder why we give Gary grief at a very important time like this, we probably shouldn't. But we give him grief because he always gives it to us. So all right.
But,
yeah, but Gary, in all seriousness, we are glad you're okay. We truly, truly are. Anybody else now? We have from prayer request this morning.
Karen is doing what she can to help
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I also put on there a few weeks ago, Graham Crosby.
Yes.
Yeah. Children, and he's still got a long ways to go. But just remember him.
Okay. Anyone else? Yes, Kathy.
The family of Eric Snuggs, who's a former senator of mine and passed away last week.
Okay. All right. Are the others? All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer, please. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you again, Lord, for this day. And Lord, as I come to you each and every time, and before we ask you, Lord, for anything, we want to thank you. We want to thank you for the blessings you've already given us. Thank you for this time of worship that we have that's so freely available to us. We thank you for our dear friends. We thank you for the members that are here today. Our visitors, Lord, we thank you. They're indeed our special guest, and we thank you for them. And now, Lord, as we go forward in the service today, we want to thank you, Lord, for those who have made it possible, Lord, to be here and give of themselves and their time and their energy and their talents. And then, Lord, there are those that we want to thank you, Lord, behind the scenes that work diligently in the sound systems and are diligently trying their very best to get everything back in order. And, Lord, we thank you for them and for their hard work. And now, Lord, we lift up Pastor Ed to you, Lord, as he comes and will present our service today in our sermon. We pray, praise God for him and ask to continue to bless him. But then, Lord, there are those that have been mentioned today, Lord, and we want to remember those and lift them up to you specifically this morning. We continue to pray for Jeanette Barbie and her family, Lord. And Miss Pam, Lord, we pray for her. We ask, Lord, that you would heal her body. Give her healing, Lord, we pray. Thank you for the good news from Mr. Gary, Lord. We thank you for that, Lord, and continue to pray for him. We continue to pray for Jeff Kay and his family. We pray for them and his mom and all those, his brother and all involved. And, Lord, for the Graham Crosby, we pray for him as he is convalescing from surgery. We pray, Lord, for healing for his body. And then for the Eric Snuggs family, we pray for them. Continue now, Lord, to pray for our church as we go forward into the Christmas season. We ask now, Lord, you will always, remember the reason for the season. And we thank you, Lord, for your dear Son, Jesus Christ, in whom we make this prayer. Amen. All right, as we go forward into a song of praise, Lord, I picked this one as a Christmas song. I don't think of a better one for a song of praise than page number 91. Page 91, let's do all four short verses of Silent Night as we stand, please.
Yeah.
All the children, you're now dismissed.
This morning, I want to talk about the love of God. And I've asked Leonard to sing a song that's been a favorite of mine for at least 70 years. Yeah. I think Tony and I are the two oldest folks in the building. You know, when you look around. Now, I'm not talking about how you feel. I'm talking about your birthday. But, you know, this song is just a blessing. And I want you to listen closely to the words, because I want to comment a little bit on them as we look at some scripture in a few minutes. Kevin?
Thank you, Pastor Ed. Pastor Ed came to me last Wednesday night at Bible study. Said, Leonard, I want you to sing a song. And I immediately said, yes, sir. Whatever it is, you just tell me what it is. And I got to thinking, you know, you may not even know this song. It may be Joshua Fit the Battle of Jericho or something like that, and I know I'll be in trouble. But as he did, he told me it was the love of God, and what a beautiful, beautiful song this is. And so I immediately started searching for the music, Pastor Ed, and as I normally do when I get looking for music, I call Brenda, because Brenda, I'm supposed to know where everything is, but I don't, do I, Brenda? No. And so Brenda told me where to find it. And so we got the music, put it together. Then Brenda told me one other thing. I'll share this with you all. Brenda said, now, Leonard, I want you to know something. This song's probably too high. It's probably high because I can't transpose it. Now, what that means is, folks, that key is what it is. And you're going to sing it just the way it is. And Brenda said that probably the first time you've ever sung a song with me, that'll be the way it is. But anyway, that's what we're going to do. Sister Harwell. I'm supposed to be able to sing high anyway. I'm supposed to be a tenor. I'm going to share this, Pastor, and I promise I'm going to sing. I promise. But I wanted to share this with you. It's a funny little story. One night afterward, the quartet had been singing. We sung a tremendously high song at the end. The lady walks up to me. She says, I need to ask you a question. She said, I noticed that when you get on these real high notes that your face turns real red. And said, what is that all about? I said, well, it's probably because I'm in extreme amount of pain. But I thank God this song does not place me in extreme amount of pain. It's a beautiful song. It talks about the love of God and how it's just measureless. And Pastor Zed Wright, listen to the words, the love of God. Brenda.
Is greater far than tongues can ever hear and tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pair bowed down with care. God gave his son to win. His erring child he reconciled and pardoned from his sin. Oh, love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong. It shall forevermore endure the saints and angels. to write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry, nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. Oh, love of God, how measureless and strong, it shall forevermore endure the saints and angels' song. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
Thank you, Leonard. I so appreciate you doing that. How far does the love of God stretch? The song says, beyond the highest star and down to the lowest hell. Does God's love really extend that far? As we were talking about in the Sunday school lesson, the universe just keeps expanding and the stars get further and further. God's love go all the way. Now, I could sit here and say, yeah, God loves you. God really, really does love you. It's the will of God that you be loved. God wants you to know how much he loves you. And somebody might be thinking, well, preacher, that's just your opinion. So this morning, we're going to do a little Bible study. Now, we're going to look at about 8 or 9 different scriptures. We'll be out by 3 o'clock. If you don't get turned to all of them, you might want to write some of them down just so that you can go back and look at them later. Because there's somebody may be listening and thinking, you know, preacher, God's love doesn't apply to me. I'm the wrong nationality. I'm the wrong race. I grew up on the wrong side of the tracks. I'm guilty of too much sin. How far does the love of God go? Well, I'm not going to give you my opinion. I'm going to show you what God says in his word about how far his love goes. And we'll start at some of the easier cases and then go to some harder ones. We're going to start first in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1 and verse 16. And as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And Jesus said unto them, come ye after me, and I will make you fishers of men. And straightway they forsook their nets and followed him. When he had gone a little further thence, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who were also in their ship, mending their nets. And straightway he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the ship with the hired servants, and went after them. God's love first goes to those who are eager to follow him. Now he walked by this sea, and here's these fishermen, and he says, come follow me. And it says straightway, immediately, quickly, they came desiring to follow Jesus. Now I see myself in that story. I can't remember when I didn't want to follow Jesus. I remember being about 7 or 8 years old and telling mama and my grandma and a couple of aunts, I want to go down the aisle and tell the church that I'm giving my heart to Jesus. And they said, do you know what you're doing? You need to wait a while. You need to be sure what you're doing. And I kept wanting to go, and I talked to them every week, and, you know, they discouraged me. And finally, I was sitting just about where Pamela is in West Albemarle, and one Sunday we had an interim pastor, and I just couldn't stand it anymore. I just had to come down the aisle and accept, tell the church I've accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Eager. I think about our youngest granddaughter, Maggie Sue. You know, they're in Australia's missionaries, and she turned 16 this week. She got saved at 4. Now, the church wouldn't baptize her that young because they wanted to be sure she knew what she was doing. And so when she was about 5, it's when Sarah and Brian set the two girls down and told them, "We're going to Australia as missionaries." And here's Maggie Sue. She's 5, and she says, "Oh, boy, I've wanted to be a missionary all my life." I mean, you know, she's still, from time to time, we watch their services online on Saturday night, which is their Sunday morning in Australia. From time to time, she does get up even now and share something that the Lord's laid on her heart that week. You know, the Lord's love goes to those who are eager to follow him. But it goes farther than that. Turn to the Gospel of John, the first chapter. The Gospel of John, the first chapter. Philip, first chapter of John, verse 45. "Philip findeth Nathanael and saith unto him, We found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said unto him, Can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip saith unto him, Come and see. Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and saith unto him, Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. Nathanael said unto him, Whence knowest thou me? Jesus answered and said unto him, Before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. And Nathanael answered and said unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel. Now you see here, Nathanael, he's a little reluctant. He's questioning. I mean, the Messiah coming out of Nazareth? Are you sure? He had an open mind and an open heart, but he was a little reluctant. And Philip says to him, "Well, you just come try Jesus out. You come meet Jesus and decide for yourself." And the love of God reached out to Nathanael, and he became a follower. Now go to Mark chapter 10. And this is a sad one. This is a sad one. Mark 10, verse 17. "And when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There's none good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and mother. And he answering and said unto him, Master, all these have I observed from my youth." And then catch this phrase in verse 21. "Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him. And said unto him, One thing thou lackest, go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. Come, take up thy cross and follow me. And he was sad at that saying and went away grieved, for he had great possessions." This man rejected Jesus, but Jesus still loved him. Jesus didn't say, "Well, that's it. I can't stand you. You don't want anything to do with me? Forget it." Here was a man who turned his back on Jesus, but it says Jesus still said, "I love him. I love him." And you know, there are people all over the world that think, what in the world makes Jesus love sinners? But he does. He loves us all. He loves us all. Matthew 14, verses 14. Matthew 14:14. Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick. Jesus loves those people who are hurting. He loves us when we're hurting. He doesn't love that we are hurting, but he loves us in the middle of our hurts, our troubles, our stumbles. What does the scripture say? What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. I will put my trust in thee. The sermon that I preached to him, you know, what, a month ago, underneath are the everlasting arms. The presence of Jesus. You look at him crying at the graveside of his friend Lazarus. You looked at how many multiple times the scripture says he healed, he healed, he healed. How he raised the widow of Nain's son. Over and over and over again, you see Jesus reaching out in compassion and love to people who are hurting. And none of us get through life without some difficulty. Some of you have known great stress, great trouble, great pain. There's been a lot of hurt. Some maybe not so much. But Jesus is still there and he still reaches out if we'll let him love us. All right. What about Luke? Luke 23. Luke 23. And this is an amazing one. Luke 23, verse 32. And there were also two other malefactors led with him to be put to death. And when they were come to the place where it is called Calvary, where they crucified him, the malefactors, one on the right hand and one on the left, then Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Jesus loved the people that crucified him. Father, forgive them. It takes love to be able to forgive those that hurt you. It takes a supernatural. The human flesh is, I'll get even with him or her if it's the last thing I do. But Jesus said, Father, forgive them. Father, forgive them. And in that same passage, if you go down Luke 23 to verse 39, and this one's a very good one. And one of the malefactors, which was hanged, railed on him, saying, If thou be the Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, Dost not thou fear God, seeing that thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Jesus loves us all the way to the point of death. I'm so glad that salvation is offered as long as we live. Some, like me, like our granddaughters, got saved at an early age. My dad was probably 68 when he got saved. I'm glad God didn't say, okay, you're past 40, forget it. No way. Even to the point of death. I think of a man that he taught the adult men's Sunday school class in my church in the mountain. He got saved on his 75th birthday. And taught Sunday school for about another 15 years before he died. I've shared about my wife and the associate pastor's wife going to a man and his wife in a nursing home in their 90s, and both of them getting saved and then dying within about 6 months. Jesus loves us all the way to the point of death. Now, it's not wise to say, well, since he does, I think I'll wait and get saved right before I die? Because, folks, nobody knows. Nobody knows. The doctor can say, oh, you've got another good 15 years. And you can be gone before you get out of the parking lot. Or the doctor can say, if you don't have this surgery, you're going to be gone in 2 weeks. And I know a man that the doctor told him that. He said, if you don't have this surgery, you're going to be gone in 2 weeks. And I preached his funeral 14 years later. You know, we don't know. So it's not wise to say, okay, I'm going to depend on the love of God to take care of me even to the very end. And I'll get saved at the last moment just before I take my last breath. But I'm glad that God does say, don't give up on your loved ones. Don't give up on your friends, even if they're on in years. Shower them with God's love. Remind them of God's love. Remind them of their need of salvation. For God's love goes all the way. You'll recognize this one in Acts 9. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went into the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus to the synagogues, that if he found any of the way, whether there were men or women, he might bring them bound into Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven, and he fell in the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And you know the story. Who are you, Lord? I'm Jesus. And Saul became the great Apostle Paul, the great missionary. Here was a man who hated Christians, who was doing his very best to stamp out this new, what he called heretical, or thought was a bunch of heresy. People who were leading nice Jews away from their traditions and their faith. And Paul wanted to kill them and put them in prison and do anything he could to persecute them. And Jesus just reached out to Paul and says, hey guy, I love you. I want to change you. I want to make you into a great missionary. He reaches out to his enemies. He loves his enemies. He loves those who want to destroy him. He loves those who want to destroy the church. He still loves them. How much does he love us? He loves us all. Romans chapter 5, verse 6 through 8. For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Well, the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So, if you're a sinner, guess what? God loves you. God loves you. You can't escape his love. You can't escape his love. One more. John 21. John 21. And I'm so glad that this one's in the Bible. John 21, verse 15. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my lambs. He saith unto him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus said unto him, feed my sheep. You know, aren't you glad that Jesus, the love of God, extends to us even when we mess up? You know what precedes this, don't you? Remember? There as Jesus was being tried and they kept coming up to Peter and says, you're one of his disciples, aren't you? I don't know that man. Never seen him before in my life. What do you mean you think you're partnering me with him? Three times. Peter denied that he had any connection at all with Jesus. In fact, Scripture says he cursed. I didn't have anything to do with him. Peter messed up big time. And Jesus still loved him. And I'm so glad that as a Christian, I can, not that I'm glad that I mess up, but I'm glad that I can go to the Lord even when I mess up and claim 1 John 1, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You see, God's love does go as far as we can reach. Every person listening to me in this building, in the parking lot, on the website, God's love extends to you, not on the basis of what I say, but on the basis of what God's word says. It covers it people who are eager, people who are reluctant, people who are sick and hurting, people who have messed up, people who rejected him. Every bit of it. It's never too late to receive the love of God from the Lord Jesus Christ. Another phrase in that song says, the love of God, how measureless. In other words, you can't measure how great the love of God is for you and for me. I know many of us grew up with the idea that God was some horrible tyrant with his lightning bolt and his baseball bat, just can't wait to zap us upside of the head. No, the Bible says, for God so loved that he gave. Not to a privileged few, but to whosoever. To whosoever. And I pray that every person in this building has received Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. And if you haven't, I pray that you will. And I pray that every person that's listening to me has received that love. Allow God to love you with all that he is. And he wants to love you for all of eternity. Praise the Lord for the love of God. It is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It reaches to the highest star and goes to the lowest hell. God loves you. God loves you. As we have a moment of invitation, if there's someone here that's never received Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, would you just step out right now and receive Jesus? The rest of us can just thank God for his marvelous love.